Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock, with a unique and beautiful ice skating rink to enjoy this time of year. Go to graftonloadingdock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, Kith, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate that. A reminder, at 2:25 p.m. today, Ryan Wiggins is going to come into the studio. Well, he's going to be in here anyway. But at 2:25 p.m., he is going to filibuster the entire segment, and he is going to do a veritable wheel of your suggested topics. Whatever you want him to filibuster, all you have to do is go on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page. We're streaming live there, or the Annie Fry YouTube channel. And in the live chat, comment the topic you want Wiggins to filibuster on in the 2:25 segment and use the hashtag filibusterAF. And your subject might get thrown into the topic. You can hear what Wiggins thinks about it off the cuff. He's not looking at these ahead of time. It's going to be great fun. We've been talking about the filibuster vote that's supposed to be taking place today. We also talked with Mark Cox a bit about the redistricting in Missouri earlier. So if you missed that, please go to the Odyssey app where you can stream us live and check out the Annie Fry Show podcast so you can listen to those. And also you can catch a replay of the interview we're about to do here with Noah Brandt. Excited to bring him on. He is a government affairs director at Live Action, and a very important event that takes place each year in Washington, D.C. The March for Life is taking place this weekend, and I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge the important efforts that people like Live Action and many, many others like our friends at the Vitae Foundation are doing to protect the lives of the unborn. Noah, thank you for coming on with us today. It's great to have you here.
Hey, Annie, thanks for letting me on. This is an important week. The 48th March for Life happening this weekend. And then, of course, the 49th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, a day that everyone should mourn. And hopefully it's the last anniversary where Roe is actually in effect.
Well, you know, no, I wanted to kind of give you the opportunity to set the stage for folks. Everybody, you know, if the issue of abortion comes up in conversation today, people very rapidly run to their corners on the issue and very little discussion is talked about. You know, where are we today on pro-life, pro-choice, pro-abortion measures? I'm going to give you the opportunity to kind of set the stage for us. Where is this country right now on protecting the life of the unborn?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, you know, the country is trending more pro-life, and I think that the key people need to remember is that's because the science is on the side of life. Roe v. Wade was decided almost 50 years ago, like I said, we're at the 49th anniversary, 1973. So anyone under 50 has only lived in a country governed by Roe. And Roe is this, unconstitutional, unscientific, illegitimate decision that says women need the opportunity to kill their unborn children to succeed. And we know, A, that's not true, and B, we have such a better understanding. I mean, babies have always been babies inside the womb. People have always intuitively known that. But you got to remember, in 1973, sonograms, you know, ultrasounds were not even readily available for most women and most patients. Today, that's available for everyone. And that window inside the womb shows us the humanity of this developing child. At Live Action, we've even created a resource called Baby Olivia. You can search that on YouTube or go to our website, liveaction.org. And that's the most realistic animation, a mixture of real ultrasound animation, showing a little baby girl developing from the moment of fertilization, the moment she comes into an existence as a unique human being, all the way up to 9 months. And, you know, things change about her. She gets bigger, you know, she gets the ability to hear and feel pain. But from the very beginning, from that moment of fertilization, she is an American citizen, and she needs to be given her full constitutional rights, including the right to live and be born.
I could not agree more. And, you know, it's something that I become very passionate about when I'm discussing it. And I feel as though that the tenor with which we have the discussion on this issue is what might continue to persuade some of those people on the issue who haven't engaged in the conversation, because it just becomes so volatile. Supporting the woman who is in a predicament where maybe there is an unplanned pregnancy, and, you know, a lot of people have some very crass suggestions about what she should or shouldn't have done beforehand. But the truth of the matter is, if a woman finds herself with an unplanned and unwanted pregnancy, there is another party that is involved in that decision that does have the ability to abdicate their consequence. And the pro-abortion movement really encourages men to leave their responsibilities and leave the woman with that decision to make completely on her own. I'm curious what Live Action is doing and what we can do as a country that does care about these unborn babies to embrace, obviously, that unborn child, but also the women who are faced with these decisions.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, Live Action, we released another video that was actually a satirical video about pro-choice men. And the whole idea was that in so many ways, right, abortion rights are pro-choice men's rights.
Yes.
Because oftentimes when women get abortions, it's because of pressure. Sometimes it's sort of amorphous external pressure. They feel they can't do it. But sometimes, really more often than not, it's direct pressure from a partner or close family member who is telling them, you know, maybe I can't love you if you have this child. You can't live here if you have this child. I won't support you if you have this child. And that, I mean, that's a problem that is extremely solvable. First, in ensuring men understand their accountability of fatherhood, of what it means whenever they have a baby, even if it's inside their partner's womb, the responsibility they have to continue caring for their partner, but also start caring about their child. But unfortunately, there's a lot of men who are just, you know, I can say this as a man, there's a lot of bad guys out there. There's a lot of scumbags, because in my opinion, somebody who doesn't want to help take care of their partner or child isn't a very good person. But the pro-life movement, you know, there's over 3,000 pregnancy resource centers in America. And there's, I mean, there are so many great ones in the St. Louis area. And something great that the pro-life movement's been doing is so many pregnancy resource centers are adding maternity homes, which are places where pregnant women can literally go to live, like, wow, not just receive, you know, diaper, clothing, and baby food. They can actually live there through the duration of their pregnancy. And in some, they can live there till their baby is 1 or 2 years old, because the pro-life movement isn't just about stopping abortion. And believe me, that's the most important thing, because children are dying every day, and they are children. But it's about supporting families to ensure that they can both attain self-sufficiency, but also enjoy just the amazing joy of having a family. You know, my wife is due to give birth to our first baby this week. That's why I won't be at the March for Life for the first time in a couple of years. And it's an amazing feeling. It's like just feeling the baby move, feeling her kick. You know, she already has a personality that I can discern. It's an amazing thing. And our culture needs to sort of understand the superpower that only women have to create life.
I agree with that. Noah Brandt, the government affairs director at Live Action, talking to us about as we approach this weekend, when the March for Life will once again take place in Washington, D.C., this important issue. It absolutely is the case. I will say, as somebody who's been pregnant five times, actually, I have four children. It is an incredibly rewarding experience, but it's also it can be incredibly difficult. It's difficult even in the most planned of circumstances. So when it is unplanned, or if the amenities are not lined up for you, or the security is not provided for you, it becomes even more difficult. And for a lot of women, having a baby enter their life is not going to be what stabilizes their life or provides a stable life for that child, which is what many in the pro-choice, pro-abortion community used to advocate for abortion. The argument is literally they'd be better off dead than the life that they could be provided in this circumstance. And I am somebody who wants to see much more advocating for adoption rights and assisting people with adoptions, that it's not so cumbersome and so expensive, that people who could provide that life for that child, that maybe, you know, you don't want to remove the ability of that child to live because the circumstances would be so dire, but to place them in the hands and the arms of a loving parent who could care for that child. How are we advocating for that as a country and as a community?
Yeah, it's vital. You know, there's a lot of social research that points out exactly what you're saying, that many women or families who are faced with an unplanned pregnancy may choose abortion over adoption. And part of it is that they actually feel more scared of adoption, because then they know their baby's out there. They might not, you know, there's feelings of what's happening, right? Did I abandon my child? And here's the key. Adoption is the opposite of abandonment. Adoption is such an act of love. And, you know, I think it's important that we don't ever say giving up for adoption. That's not what you're doing. You're making an adoption plan.
Yeah.
You're making a plan for your child that not only is going to save their life if the alternative is abortion, but is often going to provide them a really, really terrific life. And there are so many families who are on the list to adopt, right? Adopting internationally has become so much more challenging over the past few years, and that's only increased the demand for families who might be facing fertility problems or other issues, who more than anything want a child. And there is absolutely, like, the destigmatizing, especially just for prospective mothers, destigmatizing the idea of making an adoption plan is truly vital. And here's the thing, pregnancy resource centers, the two things that they'll help you do is they'll either, if you want to, if after the counseling, you say, I don't want an abortion and I think I want to try to parent the child myself, they will give you resources and education to do so. But the second thing they'll do is, if you think that this is just not a thing you could do in your life right now of raising the child, then there are so many ways that they can help make an adoption plan for you easier. And here's the deal. Abortion clinics don't do that. When you go into an abortion clinic, you know, the amount of referrals to adoption agencies versus abortion is like 99% to one. They always advocate abortion because that's what makes them money. That's, you know, these abortion centers are profit-making enterprises, and, you know, their main product is killing children. So it's really, really important that we make it clear to women that adoption is an option, and that there are so many families that are ready to love their child. And that's it's a gift even that a mother can give to the world of having this baby and then making a great adoption plan for her.
Yeah, 100%. Noah Brandt, thank you so much for the time today. I want to encourage people to go to liveaction.org to learn more about your organization. What's your advice to people who are passionate about this, maybe have never been engaged before? What's the most fruitful way for them to spend their time or their money?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, donating to places like Live Action that are doing education and advocacy, educating yourself. You know, we have a lot of videos on not only positive things like our baby Olivia showing childhood development, but also on abortion procedures to educate yourself on what an abortion is. But there are so many great pregnancy resource centers in St. Louis. I think of Thrive, which is in downtown St. Louis and has other outposts in St. Charles and Florissant. You know, even just once a week or once a month, going down and donating some time, meeting these families, loving on them, showing them that there is care, there is resources, and there is acceptance. That's a lot you can do to build a culture of life.
Yeah. Thank you so much for what you do, Noah. Thank you for the time today, and our prayers and our thoughts with you and your wife as she does the most amazing thing that I've experienced in my life as a woman, birthing a child. That's no short task, and our prayers are with you both as you welcome your new kiddo into the world.
Thanks so much, Annie.
Noah Brandt there, who is with Live Action online at liveaction.org, and he is on Twitter at Noah Brandt _. Go follow him. great conversation there. March for Life is this weekend. One of the most undercovered events that occurs every year, where people descend upon Washington, D.C. In a very peaceful way to speak for those who have no voice. And, you know, the one thing that I can think of that's really gotten March for Life attention is Nick Sandman, who basically, I guess, owns CNN these days. Who did he just settle with? He settled with somebody else. Wasn't it NBC?
I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah.
Was it one of the big three, though? Was it like ABC or CBS?
I don't know. I'm going to Google it on the break, because he just finished another settlement. And he has been talking with Kyle Rittenhouse. So we'll see where that goes. He's like, you want a piece of this? And Kyle's got to be going, I'll take a piece of that, a big fat piece of that. When we come back, we're going to have Ryan come back in studio with us. And we're going to talk with Wiggins about the Vote for Freedom Act. Who's opposed to voting for freedom? Oh, wait, I thought that's what we've been doing since we've been voting. We'll see what's in the Democrats' plan that they're trying to nuke.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The filibuster to pass with Wiggins in a minute. Don't go away.
I want to make sure we're careful in how we pass laws, but that's one of the things that have been raised for why we need some kind of a 60-vote threshold, which, of course, is not in the Constitution. The word filibuster, a cloture, not in the Constitution. And, in fact, legislatures across this land, some of whom do very good things, do not use a 60-vote threshold. In fact, democracies across the world do not use a 60-vote threshold. The truth is this. We have tried for months to persuade our Republican colleagues to join us in supporting legislation, to work with us, to debate it. But what they do is they throw a wrench into the process and then basically walk out that door and go home.
Amy Klobuchar there on her issues with the 60-vote threshold or the defending of it. We are talking a bit about the filibuster today, as they are supposed to be taking a vote on whether or not they're going to kill it or not. Chuck Schumer, the leader of the Democrats, the leader of the Senate, wants to get everybody on record, and Republicans everywhere rejoiced. Ryan Wiggins back in studio with us right now. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for coming back in.
Hello.
And we've got Hannah in here right now. Hi, Hannah. How's it going out there?
It's going good.
Great. You've been taking suggestions and setting aside the comments right now.
Are we getting
a few?
Yep, we're getting some good ones.
Okay, fantastic. So what we're doing at 2:25 is 2:25 p.m. today. Since it's filibuster day, we thought that we would have Ryan Wiggins filibuster the 2:25 segment, but he has to only speak on topics that we throw out to him based on your suggestions. Did you hear Mark? You heard Mark Cox?
That's the only one I've heard.
So Mark Cox, when he was on with us before, you can hear that on our podcast if you missed it, talking about Missouri redistricting. He said he wants you to debate, filibuster Van Hagar versus Van Halen. So I don't need to hear anything now. I wouldn't spoil anything. But that's the one you can kind of ruminate on to get yourself started. But we have quite a few starred on the live chat on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page and the Annie Fry YouTube channel. If you've got something that you really would like to hear Ryan Wiggins filibuster on in the 2:25 p.m. segment today, get your comments in. And Hannah, keep your eye out for him.
I will.
Fantastic. We got the Hannah cam on out there.
We do.
So if people want to talk to Hannah in the live chat, they can do that as well. She's got her eye on it. Thanks, Hannah. Appreciate it. So, Ryan, you were talking a little bit about the Vote for Freedom Act. Is that what it's called?
Freedom to Vote Act. Very close. Very close. They can name them whatever they want. That's what they've chosen to
Freedom
name this
Freedom to Vote Act. And essentially, if it's sometimes I think that we're so steeped in this that we use these words or these concepts casually, and it's like it's an intermediate level of understanding of government. I don't really think that we're experts here per se, but you know, what is the filibuster? What is a filibuster? And if they vote, which is what Chuck Schumer is suggesting that he wants to have happen, is all of the senators to be on record about removing the filibuster. That has nothing to do directly with the Freedom to Vote Act.
Yes.
It's a two-part process.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're linked, obviously.
So what would happen, they have the filibuster is an issue that would be taken place first because they're never going to get 60 votes, which is what's required right now in the Senate in order to pass this bill, because there's 50 Republicans and there are 50 Democrats. And since the vice president of the United States is a Democrat, she's the tiebreaker. So I guess there is something she could do with her time. And if they took a vote on this and 50 Democrats voted for it and 50 Republicans voted against it, then the vice president would come in, break the tie, vote in favor of what the Democrats want. And the filibuster would go away, which would then bring in the Freedom to Vote Act, which could then pass in the same fashion. 50 votes from the Democrats, 50 thumbs up from the Democrats, 50 thumbs down from the Republicans, and Kamala Harris breaking the tie. So that is the scenario that we're in. But we haven't spent a lot of time talking about specifically what this Freedom to Vote Act is, because we've spent so much time talking about the filibuster. The filibuster is connected to this particular issue, but it is not the issue. The issue is what Democrats are calling voting rights.
Yeah, and this is why they're trying to get they will do anything possible to get this legislation passed, because obviously they think it's going to benefit Democrats. Republicans will do anything possible to prevent this act from passing because they think it's going to benefit Democrats, just like Democrats do. So we've all kind of gone to our corners on this based on the party affiliation that you have. But I keep thinking, you know what? We looked at H.R. 1 because we've done this with H.R. 1, similar type of bill, but not the same bill that was going to change the way voting is done in the United States. It's going to nationalize elections. And they've done a great job of messaging because we keep calling this the Voting Rights Act. Everybody calls it the Voting Rights Act. And that sounds really good. Everybody wants there to be
I would like to cast my vote not in favor of voting rights.
Exactly. That's what you have to say if you're going to talk about the Voting Rights Act. But it's actually called the Freedom to Vote Act. They just refer to it as the Voting Rights Act because that's what it will do. But it's important to understand that context for going into this discussion. So I've broken this into three categories of what's actually in this bill so that we all can kind of digest on it, because some of it is fine. As usual, there are things about basically every bill that they will make that everybody will agree with so that they can headline those things and say, why would you be against this?
And before you get into this list, I would tell you that even the things that I'm not necessarily in favor of, I would be willing to trade the majority of things if they would just say voter ID, because I want everybody to have a vote. There's nobody who I don't want to have a vote if they're a citizen of this country. One vote, one living person.
Well, what you're describing is actually what most Republican-led legislatures and governors have been passing, if they've passed anything. Very common sense stuff that voters in general agree with when polled. It's just when you attach it to something and it becomes partisan, mm-hmm. then you go, wait a second, do I agree with that or not? I don't know, because the D or the R is after it.
So what's in the Freedom to Vote Act?
So the stuff that I think that everybody would be fine with, I put these into categories. The top one is require that states make voting more accessible for people with disabilities.
Okay.
Okay, great. Nobody's really got a problem with that. And I asterisk that because later there are things that would address that that's also in this bill that don't really, that would, like they overlap. But for now, great. Second, make Election Day a national holiday aimed at making it easier for all voters to get to the polls that day.
Okay.
Sounds okay to me. I could live with it, live without it, doesn't matter to me. Here's the stuff where it starts to get questionable, but it's stuff that could be part of an act if it's bipartisan. It's just a matter of how do you implement it. So the first
and
one.
And who implements it
and where is it happening? Require that states require that require IDs for voting would have to broaden the types of identification acceptable. States that would...
Say that again?
So if you require voter ID, you would have to broaden the types of identification that are acceptable to use.
Does it list?
It doesn't. That's where I'm like, well, that sounds okay, but what are you talking about
here? Picture drawn by my kindergartner.
Yeah.
This is my mommy.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you talking about something like a bus pass you got in third grade?
I'm going to interject here real quick. I said to my kindergarten the other day, I said, when you think of your daddy, what's one word you think of? And she said, cute. And I thought, oh, that's sweet. And I said, when you think of your mommy, what's one word that you think of? She said, clothes. And I go, what? She goes, you're really good at putting clothes on. And I was kind of low-key offended.
Really? Yeah. I mean, you are good at that, though. Everybody knows that.
I would have said the same thing.
It's
really unfortunate for those people who are bad at putting on clothes and accidentally come to work and don't have pants on. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, we've all done that, but Annie's never done that.
Never done that.
Never forgot.
My right. husband gets to be cute, and I'm good at putting my clothes on.
Can breathe. You're really good at taking in a breath.
I haven't seen you dead yet.
And
so.
Exhaling.
Cheers. Thanks. Thanks, Evelyn. Appreciate that one.
All right. States would also have to offer same-day voting registration and online registration. Makes it easier to register at places like departments of motor vehicles. Some of that, again, depending on how it's implemented, is probably okay. But it depends on how it's implemented.
You know, one of the major benefits... I thought this out loud, and I'm probably wrong. I was going to say, one of the major benefits of requiring voter ID, they should make those identification, like the ID that you get from approved location, free. So there's no cost prohibitive measure.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say, and then I said in my head, and then I almost slapped myself in the face, that would encourage them to make the DMV so much better. Scratch that part.
No. This is nothing. That'll never happen.
This is why the best thing I'm good at is putting on my clothes.
There is an argument to make, though, that when you make other things more government friendly, you're making everything into the DMV.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
Do we really want that? Okay, so outlaw partisan gerrymandering. Boy, that sounds great.
Pulling up state of Illinois legislative map.
Love to see that, wouldn't you? That is drawing congressional boundaries to the political advantage of one party or another. I think everybody would agree and has agreed for a long, long time that that's ideal.
Right.
But it's just like the argument against capitalism. Replace it with what? Like, I understand that you've got some flaws here, but how are you going to replace what we have? Nobody's been able to figure that out.
And I might push back a little bit and say not everybody agrees that gerrymandering is bad. Everybody agrees that the other side is gerrymandering, and that is bad.
Well, I think everybody would agree that they'd like to not see what Illinois looks like.
This is true.
Regardless of party, because it's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. But what do you replace it with? Nobody's ever been able to figure that out because it's always partisan. Anything you replace it with is just as partisan as it currently is. So, okay, fine. That's part of your bill. As long as you tell us what that means, I guess you could figure out how to be a part of that, but it won't be bipartisan, so it'll just benefit Democrats. How about strengthening the Federal Election Commission's ability to investigate charges of campaign abuses and require that states replace outdated voting machines with ones that, among other things, provide voters with paper records of their ballots? I wouldn't mind seeing that, but I also get a little bit skeptical when I see that the federal government will tell states what kinds of machines they can use.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, there's a lot of nuance there. The last one in the questionable category, allowing states to have early voting for at least 2 weeks prior to Election Day, including nights and weekends. So as long as there's somebody there overseeing that, again, you'd say, well,
I'm not opposed.
Okay.
I know that Illinois has early voting. Missouri does not, from what I mean, there's absentee voting, but not the way Illinois has early voting. I see the benefit of having a single day, election day, but I also know that when that was more the case and we would have major elections, that people would be forecasting weather and talking about statistically, like when it rains, this many people don't go out. Or if it's, if you're voting in November, you could have snowstorms. That doesn't help you vote early if you don't know that that's going to happen on that day. But that does mean that if it's a sunny day on Thursday and the next Tuesday looks like it might be a little dicey and you can go vote. I am for voting in person with an ID card that identifies who you are and matches a voter roll.
That's great, because
that's pretty much am I missing anything?
I know. Here's what you're talking about is stuff that everybody kind of generally agrees on, according to polling, especially. Here's the last three on this list in the category I put not okay.
Can we come back and talk about them?
Yeah, let's do that. Pause here. This is the stuff that when you frame it as you're against democracy, you're against these things, they don't talk about this stuff so much.
So this is the hidden stuff, the fine print that we need to read.
Yep.
And we will talk about that with Ryan Wiggins when we come back. The Freedom to Vote Act, what's in it? If they were to successfully kill the filibuster, which they won't, what are they trying to pass on us? Ryan will tell us the details there when we come back. And also, I have not been this excited for a segment in quite some time. No pressure, Ryan Wiggins. Some of these suggestions, I'm reading them as they come in. I'm trying to have an honest, thoughtful conversation with Ryan Wiggins about the Freedom to Vote Act. And you guys are making me laugh in the midst of it. So you're going to want to be here at 2:25. And if you've got a great suggestion for something that Ryan should filibuster in the 2:25 p.m. segment, please comment it on the Annie Fry Show Facebook Live or the Annie Fry YouTube channel, #FilibusterAF. We'll be back with the three worst things in the Freedom to Vote Act with Ryan in just a minute. Don't go away.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being here with us. A reminder, at 2:25, Ryan is going to filibuster the entire 2:25 segment. Are you prepped for this? Are you pumped?
There's
you
no feeling? Way to prep for this. I deliberately cannot see what I'll be filibustering. That's the idea.
I mean, his natural state is full of crap, so.
Yeah, I'm just going to let it flow. It gets up to about my chin and it starts coming out my mouth.
Did you pick out a music bed to play underneath it?
No, because I've been in here.
No, I asked you to do that before the show started.
I know, but I had 20 minutes, so no.
How much time do you need to pick out a music bed?
Let's see. At the end of this segment, I will run as fast as I can to my desk, see what I can find.
That's going
to
be less than 25 minutes.
I know, but I have I'm a busy, important person, as you know. Got a lot going on. So, at the top of the hour, though, nothing scheduled for me.
You just said that like Christopher Walken. At the top of the...
At the top of the hour.
I can't, yeah.
I will be over picking out a bump song. as fast as possible.
Every once in a while, I speak like Christopher Walken. And the last time I said that out loud on the air, I said it accidentally like Christopher Walken.
I speak sometimes as Christopher Walken. See?
Walken. Not Walken. Not
Christopher Walken.
Walken. I go walking.
These boots were made for
after
Christopher Walken.
Midnight Walken. I'd watch that music video. It was exactly like the Jessica Simpson one.
Watch the Fatboy Slim Weapon of Choice video, starring none other than Christopher Walken.
I wasn't sure who you were going to say it was starring.
No, yeah.
It was
starring none other than
me.
Dakota Fanning. Wow. I don't know what it has to do with this conversation.
If you want to know what 225 is going to sound like, it's going to be a little like this. We want your suggestions of very specific topics that you need to hear from Ryan Wiggins as he filibusters the entire 225 segment. And we are going to just rapid fire your topics. And he's just going to have to change the subject as soon as we ding in with a new one. We have a lot of great ones that have been suggested. We have over 20 of them, 22 right now.
That's a long
Chris
segment.
Chris on YouTube, I do not want to let him talk about that for 2 minutes because he absolutely will. Just keep them coming. Hashtag filibuster AF. We are going to pick them out of your suggestions. They continue to flow in. I am so excited for it.
Are any of the topics candy, election issues, natural immunity, or polls?
No.
So I'm typecasting myself.
Yeah, no kidding. Before the break, we were talking about the Freedom to Vote Act, and we talked about how we were going to tell you the three worst parts of the Freedom to Vote Act, right? This is the stuff that the Democrats are including in this that you find particularly nefarious.
Yeah, and I think most people would if it was highlighted. This is the stuff that doesn't get highlighted much.
So you're saying it's not even really talked about.
Well, actually, I'll go a step further and say that none of these things are talked about. They don't actually talk about what they're doing in this bill at all. They only say, if you're against it, you're against democracy. That's it. I mean, they don't ever talk about any of this stuff, which is why we're talking about it.
You're a racist.
Oh, yeah, you're a racist, too. But you were a racist before this. I mean, you've been a racist for a long time. Don't worry about that. Okay, here's what's
Thanks.
In this.
That'll be used in the hit ads against me when I campaign for
here's
something.
Here's what her co-host said about her live on the air.
You know what? That is absolutely happening. When I run for office one day, there are going to be hit ads against me that are all Ryan Wiggins' voice.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what.
I will be bought.
I will be easily bought.
You get paid for that and then take me to lunch.
Okay.
Somewhere sketchy.
Yeah.
Here's a KFC meal. We're going to have to split it.
Annie, you're not going to believe this. I made six figures on your opponent's hit ads. Okay. It was great for me. All right. Here is what is in this bill that is not okay. It would limit the way states can purge people from the voting rolls. It would stop states, and this has already been determined by the Supreme Court, so they would go back over this and litigate it. They would change the way that states could get rid of people from their own voter rolls. So if you've moved out of the state, for instance, and it's been several election cycles since you voted, or let's say you're dead, that's a good reason to get rid of people on the voter rolls. This would limit that at a federal level. Why you would want to do that, I don't know, unless you wanted there to be a whole lot of people that were not on the voter rolls in particular states.
That is like... Seriously, like, just sit there and try to come up with a logical reason for it.
Great point, Brad. You can't really do it. The only thing that I can see that them saying is, well, they're trying to get rid of people on the voter rolls who maybe haven't voted in three sessions. You know, over the span of six or more years, haven't voted at all. Because I think that's the way it is in Ohio. I think it's three sessions. Them saying... Well, but that doesn't mean they wouldn't come back and vote in the fourth.
But here's the weird thing about that. They said earlier in this bill that they want same-day registration. So even if that person got removed from the voter roll, they could come in and say, hey, I actually want to vote and re-register.
Exactly. Among other things. I mean, they're also all of the states that have done this. And also, it's already too liberal as it is. It's too loose as it is. Any state that's tried at all to purge their voter rolls. And there are states that have... laws that on the books that they're not following already to purge their own voter rolls because they're so out of control and they never get purged in some places, especially deep blue areas like Los Angeles, for instance. There are lawsuits that they are breaking their own laws not purging their voting rolls. So this is not an issue at all, but they're making it one because they want to intimidate states into allowing a lot of people to remain on their voter rolls who aren't actual citizens or voters of that state.
Okay. Which, when I said before that the things that I want is people to vote in person and vote with an ID, and I want it to match the voter rolls.
Yes.
So that goes against my voter rolls requirement.
Yes, it does.
Because the voter rolls need to be reflective of the actual voting public.
Surprisingly, because I don't think you read this ahead of time. I didn't give you this sheet anyway ahead of time that I created. All three of the things that are on the not okay list are basically in that one sentence you just said. Because the next one is, allow voting by mail with no excuses. Anybody can vote by mail for any reason.
Mm-mm. Because, yeah, that's the not in person. That's the problem.
Not in person. Yeah, that's a problem because it's harder to figure out who you are if nobody's there to verify your voter ID, for instance. The last one is, voters can put their ballots in drop boxes with basically no oversight. Now, that's not the same as ballot harvesting, but it's very close. And it would allow people to ballot harvest if there's no oversight. You could just drop whatever you wanted in there. That's been a problem. These are things that everybody agrees. These are problems because you can't watch them. You know, you can put a camera next to a drop box, but states did that in 2020, and then they didn't keep the footage. And so people come back and they sue and they go, hey, we want to see who put a whole bunch of ballots, you know, 200 ballots dropped in the middle of the night or whatever. Let me see your footage. Oh, well, we didn't keep it. So they want to allow that in every state across the whole country, according to this law. And if you're against it, you are against democracy and you're a racist.
Well, like we said, we knew we were racist.
We knew we were racist.
That was part of the go-to excuse for why all of this stuff can get passed. I'm okay with people voting earlier than Election Day. I'm not okay with people voting after Election Day. That frustrates me. That existed in the last election. can Wiggins please filibuster as Christopher Walken? Yes, we can do that.
We'll see.
When you have open parameters for sketchy things to take place, I only see one side of the aisle advocating for that. Why do they need that so bad? Well, you know, we all know the answer to that. If Republicans want to win on this issue, I think they need to bend a little bit from you vote on Election Day and you need to show an ID and your electric bill and your kidney. I mean, like, I understand wanting to provide the most opportunity for everybody to get a vote. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to do it in the parameters. If you can't, if you're against one person, one vote, what are we even talking about here? Like, that's absurd.
Well, there's a reason why a lot of this doesn't get mentioned, and they've boiled it down to you're against democracy because a lot of this stuff is very unpopular with the majority of the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for telling us about that. I appreciate that. When we come back, 2 o'clock hour, more talk about stuff that's going on today. I've got a couple other fun things to talk about. Before 2:25, you still have your opportunity to get your filibuster suggestion in. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.